You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo, yeah! How you guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most injury tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have a couple of topics prepared for you in the sports, entertainment, and odd news realms, but sometimes we will go off the beaten path and go on something completely different. That is the nature of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are the meal for your mind with our three segments.
We hope it's a tasty one.
Yes. So we have a couple of things to get to on this week's episode, but before we do, we'd like to do a little intro as to what we've been up to. So Mike, what's happening in your world? What's going on in Costanzo land? Costanzo country.
Costanzo country. I love the alliteration. Good job.
Right, I thought you would.
First off, I just wanted to let everyone know that the next few weeks we might be putting out a couple of special episodes because I'm having a little bit of surgery done. Nothing major, nothing serious, but there's going to be no interruption to the excellent podcast that we're dishing out. So I just wanted to get that off the bat, right off the top of the show.
A little bit of programming news.
A little bit of programming news. Just let everybody know that we've got some interesting things cooking up for you guys. So you're definitely going to have some great content still coming up. But other than that, I have also been listening to a couple of choice podcasts recently. I know. There are other podcasts out there besides this one.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe sometimes.
First you start with us, and then you...
Yes. And then you make your way to the other ones. But one of the other ones that I've been listening to, and I just have to talk about this show for a second because it's absolutely phenomenal. S-Town by the people that do This American Life and Serial. Oh, my gosh. It is absolutely incredible. I don't know. Have I told you about this one
yet?
No. I think you might be interested in it because the premise of it is very simple, but it becomes very complicated very quickly. So it opens up with a murder investigation of this.
So it's a story podcast.
It is a story podcast. Okay. It's a I don't want to say true crime, but it's a slice of life podcast where it starts off as a murder investigation in this tiny backwoods town in Alabama that one of the people affectionately calls S-Town. I can't say the actual word.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but
the S stands for something.
The S stands for something. It's sugar, of course.
Of course.
But so anyway,
sweet.
Yes, sweet.
Sweet town.
So this person living in S-Town contacts this producer for This American Life and convinces him to come down and investigate this murder of this young boy committed by one of the wealthy business owners in the town, that person's son. And he says the cops have covered it up. So it starts off like that, but then it spins off in a completely different direction. You know, you think you're getting one thing. You think you're getting another serial, but it becomes so much bigger than that, so much broader than that. You know, it's a story. I like to say it's a story about a murder, yes, but it's a story about a town and specifically one person. And I don't want to say anything more than that because I don't want to spoil it for anyone. But I have to say you have to listen to episode two. Episode two will hook you. The end of episode two will hook you. But it just keeps on spinning in different directions. It becomes so much more than a simple story about a murder investigation. And I think it's honestly hands down one of the best podcasts I've ever listened to.
Wow.
Other than ours,
yes, of course.
You know, hey, priorities, people.
Yes.
But yeah, I highly recommend it. It is really, really good. And I'm trying to be as vague as possible because I don't want to give away too much.
Right.
Because the direction the story takes, I can't say too much about it because it would give away. And my mom is going over there giving the crying mime over there. made her cry three or four times. It's a very impactful story. Surprisingly poignant. But definitely go check it out. Well, that's what's been going on for me. That's basically it. What have you been up to, Rich? Anything that you've been up to?
First off, I've been playing a lot of Madden.
How's that going? How many games have you played in your season?
Almost half of the season.
Okay,
so far.
And what's your record? 8-0?
Yeah. Okay. Because you know, I want to feel good when I'm playing.
Right.
You know,
you don't put it on all Madden.
Yeah,
setting.
I'm not one of those people that like yeah.
I always used to play it.
I
want to
have fun when I'm playing.
Right.
It.
I always play at the medium difficulty. Because
yeah.
that's what
oh, yeah.
the game is
not,
designed to be.
Yeah, I'm on pro.
Pro.
Yeah. Rookie is too easy, so
right.
I put it on pro.
Yeah, you put on pro.
Yeah. Like, I want to have just a smidge of a challenge. I don't want to.
Right, but you still want to steamroll opponents 50-0.
Well, it's not 50-0, but at least it's like.
Oh, sorry, 42-0.
No. like 24-14. Like 14. Like there's some pushback.
Oh, that's a close game.
Yeah, like I like it. Yeah.
That's a good game.
Right. Like, yeah, if I. Like, I just don't want it to be like. There are. I think if you do it the all Madden level, it's like every pass, the receiver has to be like extremely wide open. If you throw to a receiver with a guy on him, that person instantly intercepts the ball.
Well,
on all
Madden. I mean, it's kind of like real football in a way. Then quarterbacks, I mean, you know,
no.
Receivers have to be open.
Well, I mean, I mean,
even they have to be very, very
right. I mean, in terms of like, there's nobody. Yeah, there's nobody around the receiver.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, no catches in traffic or any of that stuff.
Right. Yeah, that never happens on all Madden. It's extremely difficult. So
yeah.
I like to put it on pro. I think that's which is the second level, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
so,
like the normal, quote
yeah.
unquote normal.
Right. So I don't know. I just want to have like a fun experience.
Right.
I want to play with the Eagles, you know, and see, you know, how we're gonna win the next Super Bowl. So, you know,
because your game of Madden will predict that.
Well. not necessarily, but I just love being in franchise mode and you know, just, and I also like kind of being the GM. Like I like, you know, doing
wheeling
like,
and dealing. You must love the wheeling and dealing. I know it.
Yeah, I like seeing like what trades I can get away with. You know, I
right.
don't go your route where you put the ownership on all 32 teams. And
oh yeah,
trade a first round pick for a seventh round pick.
Why not?
No, I like to see what I can get away with the actual. Mechanics of the tree.
Oh, so you're actually trying.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right. So I like to do that too.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like playing Madden as much as I can. So did that. I finished Detroit Become Human.
Oh, nice.
That's another thing that I did.
Nice.
That was a great. I love all those Quantum Dream games.
They're so good. Now, where would you rank this? Because I think this one was my favorite of the three that I've played. It's tough between this and Heavy Rain,
yeah.
But I feel like there's a lot more content with
right.
Detroit Become Human.
Detroit Become Human, there are the endings are...
There's a lot of them.
There's tons of different endings that you can get.
I just saw a YouTube video. I saved it because I was going to watch it. All Detroit Become Human endings. Do you want to know how long the video was?
How long?
Over 4 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so we're only scraping the surface here, you know?
Wow.
There's so much more there.
So... yeah, it's a great game first and foremost. I would say personally, I would just a smidge, I'd go Heavy Rain over it.
I know, because you like
just a smidge.
You like the noir-esque
yeah. Heavy
setting,
Rain
yeah.
had to me the four characters that you play as. I liked every single one of the four
yeah.
characters.
They
it
were
had,
good.
It had the film noir aspect. It had the murder mystery.
It had Jason.
Yeah, had
Jason.
Yeah, the great scream, Jason. I thought the story was more tightly woven in that one, but that's not a diss on Detroit Become Human
yeah.
because that's a I was blown away by how well that game was.
Yeah, I'm just so impressed what the developer was able to do with the PlayStation 4 and the number of choices. You know, at the end of every chapter, it shows you that flow chart.
Yeah, the flow chart
and you're like,
of choices.
Oh my, you're like, oh my god, I missed like 80% of this scene. Like,
yeah.
There's so many different ways it can spin off to. It just gets your mind thinking, like, you know, every small decision has this, you know, ripple butterfly effect.
Yeah.
Everybody's playthrough is different. Like, every time we've talked about our playthroughs, there's so much that's different between the two of them.
Right. I mean, my very first playthrough of Detroit Become Human, I killed off one of the main characters by accident.
You literally lost a third of the game.
Yeah.
Like,
which is why I had to go back and start from scratch and replay it again.
Also, that's ballsy on the developer's part.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. They're like, we're just going to lock you out from a third of this game. That...
Right, if you do this.
Yeah.
And I fell victim to it.
What if you had lost a second character? I mean, you just would have had to give up at that point.
You go straight right to the ending.
Right to the end, yeah. But that's kind of the beauty of it, though, is because you can craft whatever narrative you want to craft.
Yeah.
You know, it's totally your story.
So that was another interesting video game development I had. That, I highly recommend that. I don't mind the fact that it's not, quote-unquote, heavy on the gameplay.
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather have a great story than
exactly
than gameplay. So if you're looking for an interesting story, I'd say pick up Detroit Become Human. And if you haven't yet, pick up Heavy Rain. Heavy Rain was free.
Yes, it was.
On the PlayStation Store. So hopefully the price isn't too high for it now. But
no, it shouldn't be.
No. But it is available on PlayStation 4 if you got one. So take that as well. And one more thing that I want to mention is I watched a stand-up special called Nanette from the comedian Hannah Gadsby. I had no idea of this female comedian.
Yeah, it's a name I've never heard before.
Yeah, but a lot of people were giving this stand-up special praise on Netflix, so I figured I had to check it out. And wow, it is a very powerful stand-up.
Really?
It
powerful is an interesting word for stand-up, though.
Right. She mixes tragic parts of her life with comedy, mixed with social commentary, mixed with behind the scenes of being a stand-up comic.
Wow.
And it all just, she just throws it all together so perfectly. And it never teeters into being too serious or too behind the scenes or too inside joke-ish or too out there. I'm really surprised at how she mixes essentially like four or five different corners of her life, and she just throws it together in this stand-up special. And I thought it's brilliant. I think it might be the best stand-up I've seen this year.
Wow, that's some really high praise, because yeah. I know you like to watch a lot of stand-up.
Right.
So she sort of walks that line between all these different things. It sounds like it'd be a very heavy stand-up.
Yeah.
It's probably not for everyone,
it's
right?
It's thinking. You have to think during this. This is not like Jeff Dunham, and you know,
yeah.
your brain is turned off, and you're just right. like, you know. This is serious thought.
It's a thinking man's comedy.
Right. I would put this more like on the scale of George Carlin. Like this was like, you got to think about, you know, some of the things she's saying.
There's actual meat there.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's never too too
overbearing.
Overbearing, yeah, or overthinking.
Okay.
You know, so I really liked how she was able to just walk this fine line. And it's still funny, and it's still, and she just pulls like these different facets of her life. There's also a little. She was like apparently she was an art history major.
Okay,
so she has like these like kind of details about art historians or right. about artists and art historians, and she uses that as part of like some of her jokes. And it's really fascinating. It's amazing how she weaves like. Something serious, then one of those weird factoids, and then she'll throw in a joke, and like it's amazing. She just weaves it perfectly, and it never seems to get to the extreme of one of those emotions that I said.
Well, so. You know what? I'm going to be laid up from surgery for a week or two.
Yeah, I highly recommend.
So
this.
I'm making a mental list now of all these things that I gotta catch up on, and this is jumping to the top of that list. It sounds fantastic.
Yeah, this is definitely one I would say is a must watch. She hit it out of the park, Hannah Gadsby. The special is called Nanette, so I would highly recommend it.
Lots of media recommendations.
Yeah.
we have S-Town, Detroit Become Human, we have Nanette.
You know, we should put out a call because Mike is going to be lying around.
Yeah.
Tweet at Mikey Costanza.
Hashtag.
Let him know what he should catch up on.
Mike's surgery playlist.
If we want to go that route, yeah. The official Mike surgery playlist.
You got to make it interactive for the fans,
yeah.
You know? Mike surgery playlist.
Yes. So tweet at Mikey Costanza. Let him know anything that he needs to watch while he's recovering.
I do games. I do TV. I do movies. And I do books.
Yeah, literally yeah. everything.
Hit me up with everything.
Yeah. So there you go. Let us know what Mike should catch up on while he recovers from
the
surgery.
This is a perfect opportunity.
Yeah, right? Well, here's something. Can I spin off? I want to spin off on this.
Sure. Spin away. Spin like a top.
So you're going to be out of work for a little bit.
Yeah.
I said this one of the first things when I saw you today.
Oh, my God.
I think, Mike, I think this is your chance. I think you should grow some facial hair.
Okay.
I think this is the moment.
So people that know me in person know that I can really only grow an Amish beard. And that's fine if you like Amish beards. I don't like Amish beards.
No. But I noticed today, I don't know why I noticed.
That's kind of weird, but go ahead.
I noticed you got some stash growing.
A little bit, yeah.
I think you could pull off a goatee.
It's so weird.
I know. I'm sorry. I know this is weird.
This is how you know we've known each other for so long.
Yeah.
I noticed you're growing a stash.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Nothing
like that.
No. But just an FYI, I think you could do a goatee. Usually grow the neck hair.
Yeah.
That comes in at a record pace.
Yeah, I try to keep my neck beardism to a minimum.
Right. Or it's either that, or you could go out to Lancaster.
Beard.
Yeah.
I could become Amish.
Yeah, why not?
I always say, like, this computer's too slow. I hate it. Maybe I'll just give it all up.
Right.
Move out there, start milking cows. Play Amish Paradise by Weird Al all day long.
But you would need like a cassette or something. Like, you can't use a modern electronic.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, my plan's already ruined before I get it off the ground.
Whoops.
All right, I'll just grow the facial hair out then.
Yeah. I'll give it a shot. I think this is your chance.
I mean, I'm not going anywhere.
Right,
so.
You can't go to work.
Right.
So I think this is your chance.
I might as well. If I'm going to be laid up for a few weeks with nowhere to go, nobody to see, you know, don't have to worry about appearances.
Yeah. I think this is your shot.
Just going to let it go.
So.
Let it grow.
Yeah.
Let it grow.
You know what? You should do, like, at the end of the week or whatever. At the end of your recovery time, post a photo and let's see if people like
it. And we'll vote.
Yeah, we'll vote. We'll see. We'll
Hashtag Michael Sergi playlist and hashtag let it grow or hashtag oh dear God no.
Wow.
I had to find something that rhymes.
That's a really prolific explanation. Oh dear God, no.
Well, I was trying to think of something that rhymes with grow.
That poor man.
Oh, my God. Save your face. What are you doing?
No. Well, as someone who sports facial hair.
Yeah.
I want to see it. I think you could pull it off.
All right. I got nothing better to do other than watch a lot of movies and play video games and grow facial hair.
There you go.
Just devote 15 minutes to it every day. Just sitting there thinking about it growing. All right.
Well, there you go. We'll post photo updates for you, so keep an eye on our social media channels. But for right now, we need to move into our first subject. It's the one that revolves around sports. We call it the Sports Sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face! Ha ha!
Sports coming at you in your face in this first segment. And the first part is a bit where we do a quick topic as fast as we can in 2 minutes or less. It's time for the 2-minute drill. Are you ready for it, Mike?
I'm ready.
All right, the clock is on. What do you have for us, Mike?
All right, well, this week in the 2-minute drill, as everybody knows, the football season has officially started with the beginning of preseason. The Eagles have played 2 games already, and the Philadelphia Eagles may have lost to the New England Patriots in their second preseason game, their Super Bowl rematch. But at least one Eagles fan came out on top of this competition. A lifelong Bucks County fan paid $1,000 to have a plane circle the Patriots Stadium flying a banner with the Super Bowl score on it.
Yeah.
It just has the score and then Super Bowl 52. I love it.
Yes.
It's perfect. Just that subtle or not so subtle reminder of where everybody stands in this competition here.
Yeah.
And this seemed to tick the Pats off because they kept their starters in the entire first half. They were playing with a lot of salt, Rich. What's up with that?
I was at a bar watching this game, and we all looked around when Tom Brady went in the second quarter. We're like, what are the Patriots doing?
It's that salt. They're salty.
They
can't get over it. They're sore losers.
Brady played the entire first half.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, he's 41 years old. He's got to knock off all that extra rust.
Someone pointed this out on Reddit. Both Tom Brady and Brett Favre had career years at age 40. Brett Favre, then that was it. That was the height of his comeback. He couldn't do anything after 41. I think Brady is tempting fate by staying in all these, you know, all this extra time in these preseason games.
Rich, I said it before, I said it during, and I said it after. Dynasty killers.
Well, yeah.
Dynasty killers.
I don't know why Belichick allowed it. This is not a smart idea on his part. I mean,
well,
we'll see.
Yeah, but they won a preseason game.
Ooh, woo.
So congrats on your preseason win, Super Bowl runner-up.
Yeah, right? We won the game that mattered.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Take your salt and get out of here.
Right, and Nick Foles is still awesome.
Just in case people were wondering.
Right. There was another story that came out that kind of tied into that. There was a Philadelphia Eagles fan that lives in Boston. He spent money to get the billboard that is closest to Gillette Stadium and just a simple sign on the billboard that said Eagles 41, Patriots 33.
Oh, my God.
And that guy, just I want to salute him because yes. all the Patriots fans that night had to go past that billboard to get to the get to the second preseason game. A reminder.
See, that's what Eagles fans are great. You know, it's the fun stuff they do like that. It's not malicious. It's just people having a good time, and that's what football fans do. They sort of tease each other. They mock each other. They have fun at each other's expense. You know, everybody has a Dallas Cowboys fan friend, right? I had one in college. You probably know a few.
I ran into one recently.
Well, and that's what you do, though. You give it to them a little bit. They give it to you a little bit. That's what it all means to be a fan of the NFL, to be a fan of an NFL team.
Shout out to Bobby Kurtzetter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I literally ran into him.
Oh, you did?
It was like 2 weeks ago.
And did you bring up the Super Bowl win?
He's a Dallas fan. Yeah, I know. I should have, but it was just more of like, it was so nice I got to see him. Like, it literally, I hadn't seen him probably in, eight years.
School.
Yeah. Like, literally, it was the shock of running into him. Like, hey,
well, you know what I would have done?
Yeah, you would have, yeah. Hey, Bobby, remember that? It's Super Bowl?
What are the first words out of my mouth?
No, I was. No,
Bobby Kurtzetter is a cool dude.
Yeah. Hi, Bobby. Just in case.
Hi,
listening.
Bobby. We had fun in high school.
Yeah. But anyway, to spin off of what you said, you know, we like to tease other NFL fans. Another community that kind of does something like that is the Reddit community r/NFL. They have a subreddit for football fans. And leading up to the season opener, they are taking every day leading up to the season opener, they are doing a roast of a team per day.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Yep. And they just did one on the Eagles.
Oh, man.
So literally.
There's a lot of material.
So literally, this is anybody who's not an Eagles fan typing in a comment dissing the Eagles or dissing Philadelphia, and then the top ones get voted to the top. Figured we take the time and read a couple because, you know, we've been promoting the Eagles this whole year. They won the Super Bowl. Maybe it's time to see what other people think of us.
Yeah, let's see what people are saying outside the Philadelphia bubble.
Yes. So the top comment is a pretty good comment. Eagles fans are like my sister-in-law on Facebook. They're obnoxious, defensive. And now that they finally got a ring, they won't shut the hell up about it. That's pretty accurate.
It is absolutely 110% accurate.
But to be fair,
I mean, we deserve to talk.
Yeah, right? This was our first Super Bowl ring.
Not only that, but it was spectacular,
yeah,
right?
And like you said, dynasty killer. We took off the Patriots.
Exactly. And you know what? That's funny, though. They say that about, you know, not shutting up. I mean, we just had two short stories about an Eagles fan flying a banner from an airplane, another Eagles fan buying a billboard.
Take
just to show the score. You're right. We can't shut up about it.
And
we've been talking about it for like 7 months.
Yes.
So.
That has been our sports sampler for the last 7 months.
We just open up. We're like, by the way, the Eagles won the Super Bowl.
Yep. PGA Championship and the Eagles won the Super Bowl. Thank you very much. Here's another one. The Eagles, as of right now, are equal to the historic successes of the Buccaneers, Jets, and the Chiefs, and the Eagles fans are never going to shut up about it for the rest of their natural lives.
Yep.
Yeah, we're just as good as the Buccaneers, Jets, and the Chiefs. Woo!
Yeah, I mean, it's three-storied franchises right there.
Yeah.
Now, wait, hold on. Oh, well, I guess the Chiefs and the Jets won before it was a Super Bowl, I guess.
Right. In terms of the Super Bowl era, yeah, we all have won.
Ah, that's true.
Yeah. You were very disappointed.
The Eagles have four total championships. Well, that's the argument I had to use to survive arguing with all my Dallas fan friends. They'd be like, oh, well, how many did you win? I'm like, well, actually, we won 3 NFL championships, and we're the only team to beat Vince Lombardi's Packers in the playoffs. And that's all I had. We won 2 back-to-back championship games by shutout. The only team to do that as well. You have to have these weird stats.
Yeah, that were from 50 years ago.
Because how do you beat 5 Super Bowls? 5 Super Bowls. You know, you need something to come back with it, right? So you come up with weird stats.
The next one here is... The no one likes us, we don't care chant sounds an awful like the a-hole kid who nobody invites to birthday parties. So congratulations, Eagles fans. You sound like you're the Eric Cartman of the NFL.
We'll take it.
And then the follow-up is a comment, respect my Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah, respect it.
Yeah, all right, we got one. But yeah, that is kind of true. We're the Eric Cartman of the NFL.
No one likes us, we don't care.
We will go to Casa Bonita by ourselves and enjoy a fine Mexican meal.
I don't know what that is, but okay. Yes, yeah. I like a good Mexican meal.
Yeah, there's a Mexican restaurant that all the cool kids go to on their birthdays. And Eric Cartman pulls off this like elaborate scheme where like someone goes like missing and stuff just so he can have a birthday party at Casa Bonita.
Casa Bonita.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's hilarious. Like literally it involves like a kid has to get kidnapped.
That's an elaborate plan for yeah, burritos.
Right. It's a fancy spot. It's all for Casa Bonita.
All right. Well, it must have really good food.
Yeah, you gotta check that episode out. Let's go to another one here. I like this one.
Okay.
Philly's always talking about how good their sandwiches are, but we've all seen them now happily eat horse crap. I think we're all skeptical now. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was a little disgusting. I don't know what caused that Philly fan to eat horse crap. And then the video go viral.
I guess enough alcohol, you'll do anything.
that's
just messed up. But yeah, I mean, that's we can't escape that. They have video evidence of us eating horse crap.
Yeah. Here we go.
I can't believe that happened. Oh my god.
The Eagles front office from the late 1980s to 2013 was always dedicated to rewriting the stereotype that mobile black quarterbacks couldn't win the big one. Yeah, Cunningham, McNabb,
yeah.
Vic. Sorry.
Oh.
Oh, here you go. Just for you, Mike. The Eagles no longer have to pretend pre-Super Bowl NFL championships matter.
Oh, man. It's going to be such a weight lifted off of me.
There you go. Right there.
Oh, it was getting very stressful there, Rich.
Before the Eagles won the Super Bowl, a Philly special is what South Jersey high schoolers would pick up for drugs in Kensington.
Jeez.
After 50 years of hardship and struggle, the Eagles finally overcame the odds and now only have 2 less rings than every other team in their division. Thanks.
Yeah, but they're the most recent.
Yeah, that's right. We're the most recent.
That's right. That's what matters.
What kind of clowns run out of fireworks after scoring too many points at home? Yeah, whoops, sorry about that. That happened last year. Well,
they're going to stock a lot more now, that's for sure.
Please don't run out of fireworks. Carson Wentz loves Philly so much that his leg is now essentially the Liberty Bell.
That one was all right.
We love wearing those dog masks, but just wait until Michael Vick shows up.
Oh, man. That was a good one.
That's a bad one.
It was a good one and a bad one.
It's so bad, it's kind
of
good.
Oh, man. That's bad.
This one's from a Patriots fan. We beat you in the Super Bowl first.
Okay. Technically, yes.
In a weird way, if it wasn't for Chip Kelly, you guys wouldn't actually have won a Super Bowl. That's actually kind of a good point.
That is a good point.
Because if it wasn't for how bad of a F-up Chip Kelly was, we wouldn't have realized how badly we would have needed Howie Roseman.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have picked up Doug Peterson, and then we wouldn't have had the whole Super Bowl lineup. That is kind of a weird.
It is very weird. Not to mention the fact, and this is going to sound super strange, but remember when we traded LeSean McCoy for Kiko Alonso?
Yeah.
We took Kiko Alonso, packaged him with Byron Maxwell. Remember him?
Yeah.
And moved up to 8th overall, and then jumped from 8th to 2nd and drafted
Carson Wentz. Wow.
There you go.
So, this was all being built up behind the scenes.
I mean, Chip Kelly was a genius. He laid it all out there. No. Man was a goof. He's out of football now.
Yeah, does he even coach a team anymore?
No, I think he's like a commentator, but he failed at that too because he's stupid. Hey, do you remember his press conferences? Like, oh, you know, we got a lot of snaps. It's like, okay, cool, but you lost the game. Yeah, but we got a lot of snaps. I'm still bitter about Chip Kelly, but I guess I can't really be
anymore. You wrote an entire song about how you wanted him to get fired.
And he did get fired.
Yeah, the next week.
He got fired, yeah.
It was like the Eagles were listening to you, Mike.
Oh, yeah. It was like prophecy over there.
All right, last one here. Congratulations, Philadelphia. You finally have a sports hero that's greater than a fictional boxer. Yeah, I guess that's kind of true. We finally needed, you know, a real-life athlete that we can all look up to.
Yeah. Pretty bad though that we were like worshiping a fictional character as our lead sports figure.
Yeah, but you know what? Yeah, that kind of shows you how bad Philly sports was for, you know, good 25 years.
Yeah.
But at least now we're out of that time.
This is a new era.
It's a new era. We got the Super Bowl champions. Sixers are on the up and up. Flyers might be developing into something, and the Phillies
are pushing for number one.
The Phillies are pushing for being first in the division this year. So who knows? Who knows where all the success will spring off?
We're gonna win a championship in all four big sports. In 2 years' time.
Okay.
2 years' time.
All right. Yeah.
Obviously, 2020. We're gonna win.
Obviously, it can't happen in the calendar year, but you know, in this little era we have created, why not? And I think we would all like to see that as fans of Philadelphia sports. Thanks, Reddit, for giving us a nice roast there of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, they did a good job.
Yeah.
They did a good job.
But for right now, that will wrap up the sports sampler. Don't go anywhere, though, because coming up next, we got the entertainment entree and then the non-fortune cookie odd news. Plenty more shows still to come. We'll be right back.
The crispy noodle, always crunching.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? My Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Google Plus, your sister's ass, the punish, but very pissed off six here. You know what ticks me off? Everybody's got a podcast. Everybody's got a podcast. But no podcast ever asked me to be on but the crispy noodle podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A 39-year-old Pennsylvania man phoned the Allentown Township Police to report that someone stole his Jell-O from the break room refrigerator at work!
What?! We can't have this. Friends, there's a lot of things in this world that upset and anger all of us, but none of them are as vile as someone stealing another man's Jell-O.
If I can't have my Jell-O safe at work, where else do I go?
It was just the strawberry Jell-O. I didn't even get a chance to eat it. It was so young. I had only bought it that weekend. I loved it so much.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler and we are moving right along into our next part of the show here, where we have movies, TV, video game, all of the news that involves the world of entertainment. We call it the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You're the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
That sound,
oh,
that sound means I have just a quick little Alex Jones update. It's very tough to find some updates on Alex Jones. I mean, he has been shut down on YouTube and Facebook.
Yep.
I mean, it's certainly a dark time right now for alternative media.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, there are some people still going strong and living up, you know, and trying to remember the legacy of Alex Jones. And as a result, someone put together this tribute to Alex Jones, and I think it's definitely emotional to think about poor okay. Alex Jones.
Okay.
The tribute to our fallen comrade, Alex Jones.
What do I do, Lord?
Destroy the child.
They're demons.
I know your mustache is cool.
Destroy
you got
the child.
Little gold framed glasses.
I will go to hell.
Child.
I'm animated. My heart's big.
Start your journey to super male vitality today.
Child.
I like to fight, too. We're gonna stomp your ass into the ground, you little communist piece of trash.
I'm a human, and I'm coming.
Humanity's gonna come together. Ah! Ah! We know we're under attack.
So I never expected Trump charging into a goblin's nest to not get some goblin vomit and slop and blood on him. I don't want to see him kissing goblins. Spider ghosts are at least 25 years old.
They're bashing it because I don't like gay people.
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay. 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 I don't like gay people.
Oh, man. I know. We had our
wow,
own little
that
tribute.
Was, that to, was, yeah, so touching.
We had our own little tribute to Alex Jones a couple weeks ago. But, I mean, wow, this is just,
just
put everything into perspective.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
All the amazing content people will be missing out on, the screaming,
screaming.
The screaming. It's basically just a lot of screaming.
Yes. I think YouTube is lost without Alex Jones. We do, you know, this, as someone put it, this is a huge blow to the meme community. I mean, we don't know
yes.
where to go.
Yeah. All the great memers, they're just lost without him.
Right.
It's so sad.
We don't know where to go. We don't know where to go from here, but, Alex Jones,
I'm sure he'll still have stuff pop up now and again.
Yeah. But
he'll be back. And
yeah,
crazier than
scream,
ever.
That scream can't stay silent for this
long. That's right. That's right.
At some point, he will be back. But yes, the world of YouTube and the world of memes still feeling the loss of Alex Jones while he sits in, I guess, YouTube purgatory, I guess is what we can call it.
I guess.
But there you go. That's your random sound clip of the week. Now it's time to get to the portion of the show where Mike lets you know what's coming up this week in terms of movies, TV, and video games. Folks, it's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
There was a bit of a nastiness last night, yes? Some very extreme nastiness, yes? Yes.
Yes! Tell us what we have for tonight's extreme nastiness.
All right, well, first up for tonight's extreme nastiness.
There was a bit of a nastiness last night, yes? Some very extreme nastiness, yes? Yes.
Yes.
We have a movie, Support the Girls, is coming out this week. It is a comedy about the general manager of a quote-unquote sports bar with curves. Just trying to make it through life and protect the girls who work for her. She loves her work, the people around her, but one trying day tests her optimism at every chance. Critics really like this film, praising actress Regina Hall and lifting it to 100% on Rotten Tomatoes and an 86 on Metacritic. It's still early, so that could change, but it's still a really good sign that the vast majority of reviews are positive so far. So if you're looking for something that's funny, but also it seems like it's going to be a little, tender too at times, go check out Support the Girls, hitting theaters this week. If you want something a bit more silly, though, check out The Happy Time Murders, starring Melissa McCarthy as a detective who's been assigned to solve the brutal murders of several former TV star puppets. Yes, puppets. This R-rated comedy is what the director calls, quote, Who Framed Roger Rabbit with bad language? If you're looking for a whimsical and raunchy laugh, see it in theaters this weekend. In television, The Innocents is a new British supernatural drama premiering on Netflix this Friday. The story focuses on teenage lovers who run away to be together, only to be derailed by the discovery of the girl's shape-shifting powers. And that, of course, attracts the type of dangerous attention that threatens to drive these two lovers apart. It looks very interesting. It's got this whole, like, semi-horror aspect of, like, you don't really know who is who and, you know, what they're going to do. So go check that out, The Innocents, on Netflix this Friday. And finally, in video games, Slime Rancher is finally available on PlayStation 4. This hit PC and Xbox One game takes the player on a journey to a far away planet where their character farms and sells a variety of cute little slimes in order to build up their ranch and upgrade their gear to continue exploring the sandbox world. Gamers love the gameplay cycle of exploring to find slimes and then building a huge ranch to house all the different varieties. You know it's pretty good when it has a 10 out of 10 on Steam. So go check out Slime Rancher on PlayStation 4 out now. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
All right, Mike, thank you for that segment, This Week in Entertainment. We have a interesting development in the world of award ceremonies. We're going to be starting down that path soon.
Yes, we are.
The big one, though, is always the Oscars. Everyone wants to win an Oscar. I mean, you do have, you know, the Golden Globes and everything like that, but...
But Oscar's like the entertainment award.
Right. I always said the Golden Globes is like the Intercontinental Championship, and then the Oscars are the WWE Championship. That's the big one.
It's held in such reverence in the entertainment world, the Oscars. You know, always talk about those best picture winners and, you know, it's a certain amount of esteem that comes along with winning the award. And I guess that might be the reason behind this new change that the Academy has announced that's got the film world abuzz right now. They want to try and get more films involved in the award ceremony, and they figured the best way to do that was to create a new category. I don't know how often they create new categories, but this one has really got everybody talking. They are introducing, I think it's in the 2019 award ceremony, an award for the best popular film.
Yeah.
And movie fans are not necessarily digging this new category, Rich.
Yeah, it seems a little odd.
It does seem a little odd. So let's break it down. Why do you think they added this category? Like, what is the impetus to add this category?
I think it's
a strange category.
It is, and it doesn't seem very Oscar-like, but I think...
Not at all. Not at all.
I think one of the biggest problems with the Oscars is that a lot of the nominees for the Best Picture category the past couple of years, a lot of people haven't seen it.
Right.
Like,
they're movies that people don't go out to the theater for.
Right.
Let's be honest. How many... Count, everybody with me, how many Best Picture movies have you seen in theaters? Not seen, not streamed online, not rented, not bootlegged, but gone to the theater and paid money to see this movie on a Friday or Saturday or Sunday. How many? Very few, right?
Right. So just recently, we'll do last year's Oscars, 2018 Oscars. I only saw one of the Best Picture movies.
Dunkirk?
Right, Dunkirk. They got nominated. And then eventually I got to Get Out. I got to Three Billboards. But yeah, it just seems to me like the nominees for Best Picture are kind of, I don't know, a little obscure recently.
They're artsy.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's nothing against that. I mean, I'm a huge fan of those types of movies. But it's not the type of movie that is going to drive people to the box office.
Yeah. 2017, I can tell you, I really didn't see any of these movies. Moonlight, Arrival, Fences, Hacksaw Ridge, Hell or High Water.
Did you see any of them?
Hidden Figures. I mean,
before, in theaters.
He's got not, yeah.
That's right. See, even I got confused.
Right. Before the list of the Best Picture nominees came out,
right.
I didn't see any of these films. La La Land, Lion, Manchester by the Sea.
Yeah.
You know, I think
I've seen most of those, but they were all after.
Right, they were all after.
They were after they left theaters, and I rented them on TV. They're small screen movies, with the exception of Arrival and La La Land. They're small screen movies.
Right. And I think it's going to be very difficult that if this is the path that they keep going on, how can you hype up an Oscars ceremony when most of the audience haven't seen the majority of the Best Picture nominees?
Right. And I think that's...
So I think that's why this Best Popular Film category is being created.
And that's sort of what everybody is getting at, is that, you know, they're trying to drum up ratings. It's one of the top headlines every year with the Oscars. The ratings are dwindling. And they think that in order to bolster the ratings, they can add this popular films category. I mean, I would argue, don't make it a five-hour broadcast.
Yeah, that also doesn't help either.
That's just my simpleton solution that, you know, I don't want to watch 5-6 hours of television to get to, you know, the 3 or 4 awards that I'm looking forward to. You know, make it a 2-hour show. That's one way that you can help it out. You know, don't make it so cheesy. Don't make it so corny. But... Anyway, yeah. They're doing it for the potential ratings. I don't think they're doing it out of the kindness of their heart to include more films.
You think that's just a PR?
I think that's just a PR thing. They want to involve as many films. This is a ratings ploy. They couldn't care less about superhero films. That has been abundantly obvious. They don't care about genre films, sci-fi, fantasy. They don't care. They don't want them. That is abundantly clear. This is for the ratings. This is to bring in the people that don't watch movies to the award show to see their favorite superhero movies get nominated for something. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a movie I recognize. There's a movie I recognize. You know?
That's what the critics are saying, that this is going to turn into the best superhero film category. You know, there really isn't any other way direction. There really isn't another direction this could go.
I mean, it might. It might.
Well, so here's the thing. How are they voting for this?
Right. So we talked about why they're doing it. Let's talk about what it is. What is Best Popular Film?
Yeah.
Like, how do you define that? And how do you vote for this?
Is there going to be a nomination process? Do we go online? How does this work?
And how do you differentiate between a popular film and just a regular Best Picture film?
Yeah.
You know, because there are some movies that have been nominated in the past that toe that line. Avatar. Right? Not Lord of the Rings was one of them that towed that line between, you know, art and popularity. Some would even argue that the Christopher Nolan films, Inception, is that art or is it popular? So where do these films fall? And it's funny because the Academy...
Gladiator. You know, it's funny. So here, I was going back on the past winners for Best Picture. And a lot of them are really, you know, on the artsy side.
They are. But
Argo, and maybe that's the closest one I can think of that was kind of an actual big hit
There have been big hit movies that have been nominated and have won. Lord of the Rings comes to mind. I know you hate that, but it's true.
Yeah.
The Dark Knight was nominated. Inception was nominated. Those are more popular films. What I'm getting at is, like, are those movies now going to be classified as popular? Are they going to be classified as Best Picture? Because the Academy actually clarified. They said that films can indeed be eligible for both.
Yeah.
So, what is the purpose of the Best Popular Film category?
Besides ratings.
besides ratings. It just seems like very murky water to me.
Yeah. So Here's something that I want to bring up that goes in tandem with this. The Hollywood Reporter had a popular blog post that was a response to the news that the popular Oscar category was being formulated. And they quote, humbly offered a few suggestions. So they have four suggestions here to try and make this work. So I want to get your opinion on this.
Okay.
Number one, create a short list based on the box office. So basically they're saying that to be nominated, it would be advantageous that it's based on probably either the top 10 or the top 20 highest grossing movies.
I hate that idea. I hate that idea so much.
Okay. So that's a big no for you.
Well, because then you're going to have Fast and the Furious be nominated.
Yeah.
I mean, that.
What are they up to now? 8 Fast and Furious.
This is
Transformers 7.
Yeah,
is going to win an Oscar.
So that's sort of my problem. Is that like I'm going to sound like a film snob here? I don't want the Fast and the Furious. I don't want Transformers in my awards ceremony. It's supposed to be honoring the art of it, not the schlock of it, you know? Yeah. So I pulled up the highest grossing movies of 2018. We got Black Panther, Avengers Infinity War, Incredibles 2, Jurassic World, Deadpool, Deadpool 2, Jumanji, Solo, and A Quiet Place.
So essentially, if this suggestion were to be upheld,
if they took 10, no, they're not going to take 10. They're going to take 5, probably.
Right. Hopefully.
Right. So the cutoff would be what? Be Black Panther, Avengers, Incredibles, Jurassic World, and Deadpool 2.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think?
That list sounds all right. But, yeah, what happens if a year comes along and it's...
Why can't Black Panther just be Best Picture?
Because I guess the superhero genre.
No. Not what you think they think. But why can't Black Panther be nominated for Best Picture?
Oh, me personally.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see anything wrong with it. If it gets the right momentum heading into Oscar season, yeah, why not?
See, I don't like categorizing it, and this is this.
But I don't think it will. I don't think it'll get the nomination for
it won't. It absolutely won't. It's a superhero. It's a genre film. A superhero genre.
Maybe if it does, it just squeaks in as like a, you know, that
it's the eighth movie.
Awkward ninth, tenth movie.
Yeah.
You know, the years they don't know whether or not to include a tenth mil, which that's another thing that pisses me off about the Oscars. Either have it 9 films or 10 films.
We've seen
Why does it go back and forth?
We've seen it go down as low as 5, and we've seen it go up to 10.
Yeah.
What was that? I think it was 2008 or 2009, that year when all the popular movies were in, Dark Knight, Inception, District 9. It had like 9 or 10
that
nominees.
That was 10, yeah.
Was that 2010?
Yeah, and then it went back to 9. And it's like, what? Like, yeah, just stick to 10. Does anybody really like the number 9? Anyway.
But, yeah, it's just, I don't know, it irks me that they're in their separate category. And I saw this quote here on BuzzFeed News that Mark...
the very upheld...
Their website looks nice. It looks like they're trying to revamp themselves as an actual news organization.
A little scary.
But journalist Mark Harris tweeted, you know, that he... It was like crazy that they come up with this category the same year that Black Panther became the most popular film of the year. He said, quote, "It is truly something that in the year, a movie made just about entirely by and with black people grosses $700 million. The Academy's reaction is we need to invent something separate but equal."
Oh, whoa.
Do you think that's off base?
Oh, my gosh. That,
or do you, I mean, I don't think they're directly doing it for that, but do you think it's unfair, the fact that they're, like, quarantining off these types of movies, and they're like, we'll include you, but we're going to keep you off to the side?
Yeah.
Because you're not real films.
I don't think it's a racist element, but
No. But I think the sentiment is that they don't respect these movies.
Yeah.
So they're giving them their separate category to get... It's like the kids' table.
Yeah.
It's like, go... Well, here, you can sit there and you can have, you know, big people forks and plates, but we're going to separate you.
Cute.
Yeah. We're going to give you the same type of food, but you're going to sit off by yourself.
Yeah. Don't make too much noise.
Right. Is that fair?
You know what? I think that's a good way of putting it. Yeah, this is like
I think he went too much of the racist
route. Yeah, I don't think it's a racist thing.
But it's the same sentiment though.
Yeah.
That they're separating them off. But why can't Black Panther be nominated? Why can't Incredibles 2 be nominated?
Well, it could. I mean, Toy Story 3 was nominated for Best
Picture. It was.
So I mean, you animation can make a dent in the Best Picture.
I think
an animation sequel can make a dent into the Best Picture nomination.
I think it's the stuffy old white guy problem. The Academy is filled with stuffy old white guys, and they like their stuffy old white guy movies, like The Artist, and you know all these
The King's Speech.
Yeah, and those movies are good, but I'm just there's other stuff out there,
right.
There's so much variety in film nowadays. To say that something is not as good as something else because it's popular is kind of ridiculous. Why can't it be both?
Yeah.
Is this going to delegitimize? Like, imagine if this category had been around when Inception was in theaters.
Yeah. I would.
Would Inception be best popular film?
I think so.
And would that...
The year Dark Knight.
Dark Knight
would have won best popular.
Would that detract from the quality or the perceived quality of it? Does it have a sort of like ripple effect?
I don't know. Maybe it does because, if you win best popular film, is that like
it's almost like a
popular?
Not right?
Yeah, you're not respected by the artist,
right?
You know,
you're at the kids' tables of the
right.
movies.
I like the way you put this. Yeah, it's like being at the kids' table. Yeah. You go have your own little thing over there, children.
I've been at the kids' table for like 20-some-odd years, so I know how it feels. That sucks when you're in a big family and you're like, well, we got nowhere else. You know?
To go back to my suggestions here, number two was actually going to be this problem. It needs to be clearly differentiated from Best Picture, from the Best Picture category.
But there's no way to do that.
Right.
What is the criteria? Does it have to make over a certain dollar amount? Does it have to be shown in a certain number of theaters? Like, what's the criteria?
So what they're calling for is that specifically emphasized on the ballot, there should be instructions that say films are eligible for both best popular film and best film awards, and that your decision about whether to nominate a movie for one should have no bearing on the other.
See, this is very strange.
Yeah.
I don't like the...
to me, I don't think people are going to pay attention to that.
No.
Especially the voters. The actual Academy, they're not going to pay attention to
that. Well, it's a very poorly kept secret that most of the voters that vote for these things don't know what they're voting for.
Yeah, that too.
There's this legacy. There's this history, this poorly kept secret. That the voters, I mean, they vote based on what they recognize, what they know, and they vote based on, like, you know, what has spent the most money campaigning. Because that's what's going to be in the forefront of their mind. You're telling me that all those voters watch all those movies?
Yeah, I highly doubt that.
No.
I mean, I don't know. I consider myself someone who's very interested in movie culture and somewhat of a movie buff. Yeah, and
right.
I definitely don't get to see these movies.
You probably don't even watch half of them.
Yeah, before they get nominated.
Right,
uh-huh.
Exactly.
No.
Sit and watch them, but watch them thoughtfully for voting on it, you know,
yeah,
when you're probably doing 100 other things in the film business.
Yeah. The third suggestion...
I keep sidetracking you from your list.
It's fine. The third suggestion was make sure viewers understand the rules and that the Academy should have the fans. The Academy needs to have the fans to have a stake in the award.
What does that mean?
So I guess maybe directly voting on it or something like that. I don't.
I mean,
going to actually like put out a list online and be like, "Here's the vote." And was this American Idol? Like, are we going to do this? Call in for your favorite film.
Maybe. maybe that's how best popular film is decided.
Yeah.
No, the Academy doesn't nominate them. The fans nominate them.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a better indicator of what people find popular, right?
And then vote on from the nominations?
And then the Academy votes from the nominations.
Okay. So
fans nominate.
Fans can nominate.
I think that's the best indicator of if you can't leave it up to the Academy to pick the most popular films.
Yeah.
These are the people that gave Academy Awards to Shakespeare in Love over Saving Private Ryan and Dances with Wolves over, what was it, Goodfellas.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
They gave it to The Artist over whatever the hell else was out that year. Gave it to Moonlight instead of La La Land. I still think La La Land should have won. I'm still bitter about that. So you can't trust the Academy to make reasonable decisions here. They didn't give Christopher Nolan anything at all yet.
Oh, yeah. That's another one that pisses
me
off.
So you're going to trust the Academy to choose the popular films? They're going to be like, well, I heard that, you know, some obscure, you know, art house film was the best film. That's popular.
Yeah.
They're the reason. This is the thing. If they truly want to fix it, you need to separate this category from the Academy because they're the reason that they're in this pickle.
You know what else, too, is, you know, some of these, like, for example, what you said about The Artist, that year, 2011.
It was terrible.
Yeah, look at these nominees. Hugo, The Help, Extremely Loud, Incredibly Close, The Descendants, Midnight in Paris, Moneyball, The Tree of Life, War Horse. That was a weird year of movies. Some of them are popular, but a lot of them aren't.
That was the 2011?
Yeah.
And so this would have been based on, what, the 2010 movies?
Correct. Yeah, and that was the year The Artist won. And that was a film, man, nobody saw. Nobody saw that in the theaters until...
I don't think anybody's seen it afterwards either.
Yeah, probably not.
The Artist is one of the... I've never seen it, but it annoys me. And I know that's wrong, but it just... It just does. Because it represents all the pompousness of the Academy, all rolled into one. You know what I mean? They reject newer ideas and concepts because they want to get back to like this glory days of cinema. And you know me, I've always been a proponent of like new stuff. You know, the newer stuff.
Yeah,
the old stuff was great, but there's good stuff coming out now. You know, we can't just constantly keep crapping on the new stuff because it doesn't leave any room for growth. It doesn't leave any room for the evolution of the art form if you just constantly crap on it all the time. I'm not saying that we don't have a lot of drivel nowadays. We absolutely do. But, you know, I think that sometimes the Academy and film buffs sometimes get too caught up in trashing modern film. And I think that this category sort of represents that thinking, you know, that kids' table thinking. And it just sort of ticks me off. 2011 was a bad year for popular films, too, by the way. I looked it up. Top grossing movie was Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Hey.
That was a great movie.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. Do you think it could have stood toe-to-toe with some of those Best Picture movies?
For that year alone, maybe. Yeah, that really is a weird year.
That was not a great year. But I'm like looking.
Although
at
Moneyball is a good. I love Moneyball. That
never saw Moneyball.
Yeah, basically the beginning of using analytics in making decisions for baseball sports franchises and stuff like that.
Yeah. No, I know.
Yeah.
Where did I see that?
Brad Pitt.
No, I can't remember if I've seen it or not. I may have seen that.
That was a great movie.
Anyway. Oh, you know what? Like, there were some other good popular movies that year that may have been... I mean, some of these could have gone up for Best Picture. Rise of the Planet of the Apes. That was a good one.
Okay.
Bridesmaids. I mean, that was a fantastic movie.
You know, that's another thing, too. I don't think a comedy's ever going to win Best Picture anymore.
So is this basically... Why don't...
Like think...
I was about to say, why don't they make a comedy category, but then you're at the Golden Globes.
Right. When's the last time a comedy won Best Picture? I don't think ever.
Probably the 60s or 70s.
At least it hasn't seemed like it. I can't name a movie off the top of my head that won Best Picture, at least recently.
You know what's funny? I searched last comedy to win Best Picture. You know what came up?
Zero.
No, The Artist.
That counts as a comedy?
Apparently.
Okay.
Annie Hall, 1977. The Sting, 1973.
Well, I guess this thing is a little bit of comedy. Yeah, Sting. Yeah, it's lighthearted.
That's the other thing. There's a lot of movie genres. It's always like dramedy. It's drama comedy, or it's you know, it's whatever. It's always a combo genre. But yeah.
And the fourth and final recommendation from the Hollywood Reporter. This one I think is going to burst your bubble here.
Oh, more than the others?
Yeah. They are saying that nominees should not be from Netflix because the Oscar wants because the next because the new Oscar quote should exist to thank the public for seeing movies in theaters.
I don't know
about that one.
Oh boy, that's a tough one.
I don't think no. I say if a movie is that good, it shouldn't.
Yeah,
matter.
I think and again, this is what I've been saying all along. This pushback, this resistance to anything new and different,
yeah,
is going to cripple the art form.
Right. If you can,
that is the biggest danger. Not the schlock, but it's the resistance.
Yeah. If a movie's that great, it shouldn't matter what platform it gets released.
Absolutely.
On.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, you know, it started as a hard decision, but now it became an easy one. No, you have to include Netflix movies. They're still movies.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter the size of the screen. It's still a movie.
Right.
The definition of a movie is not, well, it was shown on a giant screen first. That's weird. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
You're talking about a format of storytelling. A movie is an hour, you know, anywhere from an hour to 4 hours of medium length storytelling. You know, it has nothing to do with the size of the screen.
Yeah, I mean, look, I do realize it gets into a little bit of film theory here because
right.
there is a segment that does believe that you have to physically go to a theater to enjoy a movie, and it's supposed to be something you see that you're supposed to see a film with no distractions, and you're supposed to be engrossed in the movie and everything.
I understand if you're talking about from an experiential point of view,
yeah.
But in
still,
terms of
the principle of the argument, though, still I think outweighs that. The media
right.
shouldn't dictate the quality or the perception of quality
right.
Of the artwork.
Well, I would argue on a technical standpoint, what is the backbone of a movie? It's the script. It's the acting. It's the staging and lighting. All those things, big screen, small screen, it's all the same. It's all the same narrative.
Yeah, unless you're going to watch it on your iPod.
That you should never do.
Yeah, please don't
that. You should never do.
Yeah.
Did you ever do that? Did you ever get the videos on your little iPod video with the 2-inch screen? And
yeah. And
how'd that go?
Not good. It's not good.
You watch Star Wars on there? It's like, I can't tell. Who's like, I've watched this movie before, but who's winning? 2 inches.
The funniest thing whenever I think about something like that is I remember I was walking down like a street or something, and I heard somebody say, like, I'm watching this Nolan film on my Apple Watch.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, what are you doing? That was the closest I've ever wanted to, like, shake up a stranger and just be like, what are you doing? Like, out of all the films, the Nolan films are not to be experienced on a little watch screen.
Unless you've watched it like 100 times.
They are shot specifically on a specific format that is set up for extreme wide screens.
You can't even enjoy it when it's that small.
What are you
doing? It doesn't matter what it is. It could be an episode of The Simpsons. You still can't enjoy it on the smallest screen I can do is probably like 10 inches.
Like,
and even then, it frustrates me to watch something that small.
Yeah. Like, look, so as somebody that took a couple film classes, yes, in terms of like actual composition and directing style, yes, there are some movies that you need to see in the theater or you need to see on a special screen or something like that. But for the most part, especially current movies, I think you're fine. You don't have to judge it based on whether or not you got it from Netflix or Hulu or whatever.
Unless it's specifically shot in IMAX or 70mm.
Yeah, like Hateful Eight.
Hateful Eight.
And Dunkirk. Yeah, like those movies that are specifically shot on
that
a ratio.
That is the 1%. And let me tell you something.
Right, that's 1%.
They're probably still fine on your 50 to 60-inch television.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's meant to be viewed that way, but will it work on the other screen? Absolutely.
Right.
I say you can't. It's not the format. It's the medium that matters. The medium is visual storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
And visual storytelling, whether it's on Netflix, big screen, small screen, whatever, it should all be treated equally.
All right. Well, since
that was a very intense conversation.
And to finish off, I want to do something completely outlandish. Since we have no idea what the hell the definition for this category is, best popular film, and we have no idea what's going to get nominated, and we have no idea how the selection process is going to happen, who do you think, what's going to win best popular film, Mike?
Black Panther.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe Infinity War.
Infinity War. It's...
Maybe Solo.
Dear. I think
Star Wars.
First off, I think Black Panther should be nominated Best Picture, just flat out. It won't be. It should be, but it won't be.
Maybe it gets like that ninth. I think it gets that ninth, tenth slot.
Then it's not. Then it's definitely not going to win. If it gets the ninth or tenth,
no,
slot,
yeah, it won't win. No.
If it gets ninth or tenth, and it's not nominated for,
I can. No, Black Panther's not going to win Best Picture.
This is the other thing. It frustrates me because like. You take a movie like Black Panther, you give it that ninth spot to go out there and die.
Yeah.
And you know
it's last in the batting order.
Right. And you know all the people who are nominated, they go, well, it's already nominated for Best Picture, so we're not going to nominate for popular film. So you got something like Jurassic World winning Best Popular Film, and then you got Black Panther dying in ninth spot in Best Picture. It's just, it creates awkward situations like that. It also creates awkward situations where if a movie's nominated twice, it's like, all right, well, it's obviously not. You know, it's not that good of a Best Picture if it was also nominated for popular. It's not that good of a popular if it's...
Yeah. It sounds like the dilemma when you have, for a baseball prospect, when they're doing really good at the AAA level or the AA level, and then you call them up to the majors and they do horribly.
Right.
It's like, what do you do then? Do you still keep them on the major league roster?
Right.
Do you demote them?
It's that weird limbo.
Yeah.
I don't want these movies to fall into a weird limbo. Limbo.
A weird limbo. Limbo. And limbo.
Yeah. You know, all that said, I know it sounds like I'm being very overly negative and cynical about this whole move, but
You're not the only one.
No. I do appreciate the fact that it is giving more opportunity to different types of films. I will say that. It is confusing as hell. It doesn't make a lick of sense. It is somewhat demeaning to those films, but it is offering them some sort of recognition.
And I guess that's a start.
Yeah. We'll see. The Oscars are doomed. It's supposed to be a hoity-toity art house thing. It's never going to be mainstream. They want it to be mainstream, but then they don't want to nominate mainstream movies. So therein lies the inherent flaw in the system.
Yeah, write that in there.
And this is a half step. I mean, maybe eventually it'll turn into a full step, but I think they really need to sit down and hammer out the parameters.
Yeah, I think so as well. But for right now, that will wrap up the entertainment entree. We need to take a break. But don't go anywhere, because coming up next, we've got a special categorized odd news coming your way to close out the Crispy Noodle podcast for this week. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? This is Vic DiBattista, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
Michigan is making sure that your beer pint at the bar cannot be 16 ounces or fewer.
Do you have like an official beer inspector standing there?
Yeah, the Michigan beer thing.
The Michigan beer thing. The MBT.
Yeah.
Excuse me, sir. Remember the MBT? Is there 16 ounces in there? I'm sorry, sir. I'm reading 15.6 ounces. I'm going to have to take you in. So.
On the streets of Michigan, the Michigan beer thing is out and about to make sure you get the right beer.
Not the right beer, the right amount of beer.
Excuse me, right amount of beer. I'm drunk right now.
It's all part of the business with the MBT.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
I'm Nikolai Volkov. I want you to keep listening to Crispy Noodle. Hey, that is order.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You gotta go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
Yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler and the entertainment entree, and we are moving right along into the third and final part of our show, where we go over some crazy and ridiculous news that actually happened. Folks, it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Manda de bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact,
never play this again. Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Woo, odd news.
That's right, everybody. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news. Now, normally in this segment, Rich would find a whole bunch of weird stories and keep them hidden for me so that all my reactions are my genuine gut reactions. But this week, we have something special cooked up for you guys. We have sort of a theme going on here. We pulled a few of our favorite odd news stories and we grouped them together to come up with a list of things to do on vacation, because I know it's coming now to the closing weeks of summer, and people, yeah, you want to get a break in, you know, before summer officially ends.
Right. August, you know, this is the end for the summer. So a lot of people are cashing in and trying to get that last little bit of vacation in.
Exactly. So these are some odd news stories, examples of things that you could possibly do on vacation. And I can't think of anything better to do on vacation than to activate the good old freedom cells, you know? I'm not entirely yes, sure what freedom cells are.
They are a thing.
But you coined the phrase in one of my favorite odd news stories, when the freedom cells kick in, from episode 245.
But unfortunately, this might be the neighbor from hell.
Uh-oh.
yeah. This is an interesting story.
Okay.
Brace in here. Hernando County School Superintendent Lori Romano is going to appear in court after she filed a restraining order against her neighbor, who she said has stalked and harassed her since last summer.
Oh, my gosh.
In the court filing, Romano brings a long list of accusations against her 45-year-old neighbor, Italia Carolina Lanez, who lives across the street from her. So, yeah, what a name there.
Yeah, that's a mouthful of a name.
Yep.
And what's this person doing to the other person whose name I've already forgotten?
Romano listed a whole long list of accusations, but I picked four that were the most random.
Oh, my gosh.
Right, yeah, I had to go through this.
Wow. There was a list, and you picked four.
Yes.
Man, that must be an interesting list.
Right. Would you like to know the four that I picked here from from the list of accusations?
Yeah, let me hear what you got.
In July, Romano says that Lanez began, quote, exhibiting strange and threatening behavior,
okay,
such as yelling profanities at her and consistently displaying her middle finger as she left the house to go to work daily.
No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
She's just walking out of the house, and he's like,
How do you do? Go F-off!
Yeah. Go to hell!
I'ma f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style!
Howdy, neighbor! Go to hell! Eat crap! Is this just completely unprovoked?
Yeah.
Just walks out of the house, flying two middle fingers.
Yeah.
Just screaming profanities.
Because Romano says nothing happened.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know if I believe her. Come on. I mean,
I don't know. This is a long list of accusations here.
Okay. All right. So, well, what else you got?
So that's the first one.
Okay.
All right. Second one. In August, Romano reported that Lanez began randomly videotaping her husband and the other neighbor across the street who were sitting together in their driveway talking about gardening.
Okay.
just
randomly videotaping
them. What's going on over there?
That's super creepy.
They're talking about secret gardening plans.
Well, maybe she just wanted to know how to garden better.
I don't know. This is starting to get into like this is starting to get into like Alex Jones territory here.
That's actual audio of her walking out of the house in the morning. Just two middle fingers.
The Illuminati are coming over with their pitchforks. And they're discussing secret gardening tactics.
Gardens are how the government controls you. Okay? They put chemicals in the dirt. And when you grow your vegetables, it takes in those nutrients and it makes you crazy. It makes the earthworms gay.
That's why you have to buy my specific gardening survival kit that has 100% nutrients grown home and will activate the freedom cells. Oh my god. Alex Jones.
Can you feel the freedom cells activating? I'm curious, Rich, since you're such an expert, I would like to know where exactly the freedom cells are located in the body?
Right before the cockles.
Right before the cockles. Oh my god. Oh my god.
Yes. So
it activates the freedom cells.
Yeah.
And it's such a great feeling when your freedom cells get activated. Yeah. Ooh, let me tell you.
Yeah, I think we had a couple activate right there.
Yeah.
Wait. So I'm only halfway through the thing that
I
pulled.
Oh my god. Okay.
I got two more instances. All right. In October, the court filing provided by Romano claims that Lanez decided to walk back and forth in front of Romano's home where she and her family were sitting in the driveway, and that Lanez, this is taken from the paperwork,
okay,
Lanez, quote, was menacingly singing the children's song, "She'll Be Coming Round the Mountain."
She'll be coming around the mountain where she comes. She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes with a big long knife. And my freedom cells are firing when she's coming around. Like, how do you
menacingly sing "She'll Be Coming Around the Mountain"?
I just did it. That wasn't menacing enough for you? Oh my god. I would leave. I would just leave.
That's it? That's the last straw for you?
Lock the front door, get in the car, and just keep driving until you hit the border of Florida. Oh, my God.
Oh, you mean north?
Yeah, no, I'm getting the hell out of there, Rich.
Yeah, I'm like, there's nothing south.
Why would I drive south?
I don't know, you said border. I was thinking south.
What? You thought the border of the country.
Yeah, I'm like,
oh, you're going all the way
right
out.
I'm like, there's water there, Mike. No,
I'm just going to drive the car straight into the ocean.
Oh, man, there's freedom cells got activated.
That's right. It just drives you, you know, makes you a little hyper when the freedom cells go.
Yeah.
She'll
be coming around the mountain.
That's terrifying. That's amazing. And so, So the other family's just sitting there watching this like a show? Am I understanding this correctly? They're sitting in the driveway.
Yeah.
And the other person is pacing back and forth singing this song.
Yes.
Why are they still sitting in the driveway?
I think at that point you're just watching, like, what's next? Like,
at this point you're afraid to turn your back on her.
Right, exactly.
Because that's when she'll strike.
Yeah, make sure she's in front of you at all times.
Oh my God. That's terrifying.
Yes.
That is absolutely terrifying. And then the next item is she was menacingly singing, "I'm a little teapot." I'm a little teapot.
Sure, that's out.
Filled with boiling oil to burn your skin. I'm still amazed at the come around the mountain thing.
Yeah. Why that song?
I don't. Should we come around the mountain to get you in your sleep? Oh, man.
And then the final thing I pulled.
Oh, boy.
In November of 2017, Lanez took photos of Romano's daughter while she was walking her own dog. And at the same time, Lanez tried to purposely hit Romano's car head on while she was driving through the neighborhood. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Who made me issue my ultimate form?
Wow.
This woman is off her rocker.
Yes.
Man. I don't even know if she had a rocker to begin with.
I don't think she had a rocker to begin with.
Oh, my God.
Hello.
If the court.
And they put up with this for a year?
A couple months since
the summer. Oh, a couple months. Oh. Wait, how long have they been neighbors?
I guess.
Have they been?
Oh, I don't know. Because all this started in July.
Man, that's terrifying.
Yes.
Too many
just
freedom cells.
Yes, it's all the freedom cells getting to her.
Hey, everything in moderation, even freedom cells.
Who would have thought such a simple children's rhyme could be so menacing?
I know. They are terrifying if they're sung in the proper tone.
As evidence.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But you know what? Let's head away from the menacing stuff and let's do something wholesome. You know, vacation is about wholesome things. I can't think of anything more wholesome than attending a cookout. Everybody loves to go to a good old-fashioned barbecue. But there's something strange about this one and this odd news story because there's a lot of unknown things going on.
Very much unknown.
Yes. And that's what brings us to this next story. The Unknown Barbecue from episode 268.
A North Carolina man gained a lot of attention online after he decided to post that he wanted to invite people and strangers to his, quote, all-inclusive party for the 4th of July. The only problem was he decided to post the event on the gay meetup app Grindr.
Oh, man.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Yeah, I don't know how you stumble into Grindr.
Like, oh, I'm going to send out my 4th of July barbecue invite. I better find this gay dating app to do it. How do you... it wasn't an accident.
I don't... He claimed...
No. It was not... Dude. One. You don't just accidentally download...
Grindr.
Download an app, create an account, and then upload... I mean, what did he do? Like, how does that even work? He uploaded an invitation?
Yeah, I guess there's like somewhere you can promote events on Grindr.
Yeah, that sounds impossible to accidentally do.
Chris Bauman promoted his, quote, fifth annual 4th of July barbecue using his profile in the meetup app Grindr. The 61-year-old Army veteran wrote, quote, "This is a barbecue, not an orgy."
Oh, so he knew what he was doing.
I think, though, he had to, because he later noted that, quote, "Why do you think this is an orgy? Is it because of the app?"
What? What?
This is a barbecue, not an orgy.
This is so. So hold on. Wait. Time out. He wants to host an event.
Yes.
And to host said event, he goes to the app store. He searches Grindr. He sees what it is. I assume he downloads said app, creates a profile. He knows what said app is about. because he specifies that it's not an orgy. And he still decides to post this invitation there.
Yes. So the title says, barbecue, not an orgy. And then his text writes, why do you think this is an orgy? Is it because I'm on this app? This is a barbecue, not an orgy. If you are coming, please feel free to bring your wife, your partner, a date. The party is open to men, women, families, gay, straight, bi, and the unknown.
And the unknown?
Yeah, what the hell is that?
What are you talking about? The unknown? What are you inviting, like aliens or like vampires or something?
Dear God.
And the unknown. All of a sudden, this party got a lot more interesting.
I kind of want to go to this party now.
My God.
If only I had Grindr.
Right, I know. It's the perfect place to find barbecues with supernatural attendees.
And the unknown.
And the unknown.
So, wow, he's really open.
Hold on. Did he post this on other, like, message boards and apps, or was it just this one app?
It was just on Grindr, apparently.
But why? Why is it like, oh, I want to get this invitation out here. I'll pick this gay dating app. Not Facebook, not doing like a...
Well, he's too old for Instagram, so I know that was out of the question.
But he's young enough for Grindr?
He's young enough for Grindr?
What are you even saying, Rich? Oh, he's too old for Instagram. Grindr's where it's at.
Yeah.
For the 60-year-old plus crowd. Oh my God. But yeah, the unknown. What is that? What was he trying to say?
Yeah, I don't know. The unknown. I guess aliens. Sure, why not?
Oh my God. Other paranormal creatures from the unknown. Is he hoping he's going to get a Sasquatch or something?
Well, he did get a few strangers to come to his barbecue.
Oh,
one of them was Matt Setzer, who says that he wasn't sure what to expect, but he did say that, quote, it was a very positive experience. He says that, quote, I can't stress enough how inclusive everybody was. Everybody was so welcoming, and everyone felt like they were family. So it was good.
Wow,
I guess people that showed up actually had a good time.
That is surprisingly wholesome for the odd news. For a story that started so bizarrely, inviting unknown people
and unknown things
via a gay dating app to a barbecue.
Not an orgy.
That is not an orgy. That ended surprisingly wholesome.
Yeah.
Wow. That brought a smile to my face. There's hope in this world.
And guess what? Grindr has also caught wind of it. And they've said that if Bowman likes to post about his next barbecue, that they would like to contribute.
Wow.
So there you go.
God, you know, his mistake ended up working out really well for him then.
There you go. The power of a barbecue.
Yeah, it is the one uniting force. Men, women, families, gay, straight, and unknown.
And the unknown.
And the unknown.
We can all unite over a nice barbecue.
That's right.
Barbecue sauce goes well with everything. Barbecue sauce goes well with everything. If you're getting some nuggets from KFC, barbecue sauce is right for me. Barbecue sauce goes well with everything. Barbecue sauce goes well with everything.
Boy, you know what? I feel like I missed out now. I want to go to
I wanted to meet the unknown.
Right. I wonder who's the unknown?
I mean, all right, so, I mean, realistically, I know what he's trying to get at. He's saying, like, you know, whatever, you know, whoever you are, whatever your beliefs.
But that's
whatever,
just a weird way to phrase it.
Yeah,
the unknown.
The unknown. Yeah, it sounds like he's talking about, like, some, like, supernatural force or something.
Yeah.
You know?
The unknown will get you at the barbecue.
At the barbecue, that's right. Oh, who'd you invite? I invited the unknown. They're bringing potato salad.
That sounds good to me.
Yeah. It's made with void matter, you know, like
it's made with beryllium spices,
right?
Yep, and to this day, I still do not know what is the unknown.
We won't. It's a mystery.
We'll never find out.
No, we'll never. It's one of those famous unsolved mysteries.
Yeah, it's going to be an episode of X-Files one day.
Yeah. But you know what? Speaking of fantastic entertainment that we love, we always try to tie in one of our favorite musicals, Les Mis. And people are wondering, how in the heck are you going to bring Les Mis into this? Well, the next thing you can do on vacation is you can sing a song, you can play some sports, do whatever you want during vacation, as evidenced in this next story, Les Mis Hospital Barricade from episode 247.
A Florida man was arrested for trespassing at Bayfront Health in Port Charlotte, Florida, after he refused to leave his room after he was being discharged by doctors. Hospital officials said that the patient demanded that he stay until the AFC Championship game was over on the television.
Yes. You know, that's a fair argument.
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now.
Yeah, you don't come between a fan and his championship game.
Exactly. Could you imagine being asked to leave if, like, you were somewhere watching a really important game? If you were somewhere watching the Super Bowl and you're like, oh, you have to leave right now. And it's like the beginning of the third quarter. Like, you'd be pissed.
Yeah, no, I have to finish this game.
Yeah. Would it really have killed them that much to let him stay, like, an extra hour and a half or whatever it was?
According to the Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, deputies responded to the hospital at 2 p.m. on Sunday for reports that 40-year-old John Robert DeAndre had barricaded himself in the hospital room.
Okay, that's taking it a step far.
Yeah, wait, yeah. There's actually a physical barricade now. Wow. This guy's a diehard fan.
It's like Les Mis 5.
Yes.
He's on the barricade. You at the barricade, listen to this.
I must watch my football.
Give up your team or you will have the cops
sent on you. I shall never give up the Jaguars.
Teal, the color of my team.
Black, the other color of my team.
And silver, the alternative color. So dramatic.
Yeah, we're not very creative when we're
right,
in football mode.
Right in the feels.
Football fans aren't very creative.
Black, the other color of my team. That's some award-winning writing right there. Teal, the color of my team. Black, the other color of my team. Silver, the alternative color of my team.
It's all correct.
It is. Or no, is it gold or silver? I can't remember now. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Wait, there's some kinks to iron out.
Oh, yeah. We'll get to it eventually.
All I know is that this dude in Florida was singing on the barricade, watching the Jaguars play football.
Yeah.
This is a true Floridian hero. Like, all Floridians should hold up this man and say, look, this is an example for their children, for their children's children. This man is what every person in Florida should aspire to be. Okay? A true fan, a true patriot, not a patriot, but a patriot in the Les Mis sense of the word patriot. He's incredible. Simply put, he is magnificent.
Yeah, this is. I just love the fact that it actually says the news story barricaded himself.
Barricaded himself. Whenever I hear the word barricade, I think Les Mis. I can't help it. It's just, what my mind jumps to.
Makes sense. Court documents indicate that Bayfront security officer had given DeAndre multiple chances to leave, but he refused each time.
Well, obviously, because he's busy moving beds and chairs in front of the doors. Can't expect him to leave when he's right in the middle of a big project like that.
Right, and the game's on. Yeah,
the game is on, I know.
There's too much stuff happening.
Can't think of a better way to spend a Sunday than barricading a door while watching some football.
The security officer then informed DeAndre that he had committed trespassing and that he needed to leave immediately before he would call the cops. He continued to refuse, according to employees. Once on the scene, deputies entered the room using a riot shield.
Oh, my God.
Wow. This is literally, yeah, a battle between the barricade and the riot shield.
I don't know what Les Mis music you pulled up, but it does not match what you're saying at all.
I hit little people. So Sorry.
They're like, and then he busts in with Rousey and little people.
Why not?
You got like the karaoke person.
They just march right in. That's them actually marching into the room.
Yeah. What is this 8-bit Les Mis that you found?
I guess I did.
Sounds like Golden Axe on Sega Genesis. Oh my god.
Alright, well, once on the scene, deputies entered the room using the riot shield and pushed through all of the furniture that DeAndre had stacked in front of the door. He was then placed in handcuffs and searched for contraband. As DeAndre was being transported to the county jail, he began banging on the patrol car and yelling profanities at the cops. So his crimes were the following. Charged with trespassing and resisting an officer without violence.
Okay. Big question. Did they put the game on the radio?
I guess. I don't know. Probably
that would
not.
Just be rubbing salt in the wound. He's like, not. At least turn on the game. And they're like, nope.
Yep, you did this.
And it's a half-hour drive back to the station.
You're going to miss the whole third quarter. DeAndre is currently being held on a $5,000 bond. So,
all he wanted to do was watch the game.
Yeah, that's all he wanted.
I will admit, building a barricade to block the door of your room is maybe taking things a little far.
Just a little bit.
I bet if he had just asked. No, wait, hold on. Are there no other TVs in the entirety of the hospital? There's no waiting room?
Maybe not.
There's no cafeteria?
Maybe, I don't know.
The security guard doesn't have one of those little black and white 3-inch TV screens that they have in every TV show and movie?
Would they even work anymore?
I don't know.
Because everything's digital now. Nothing's analog.
That's a good point. Stream it on your phone, dude. Hijack a hospital computer, anything.
I don't think this is like a full-blown hospital either, because it just says Bayfront Health.
Yeah, I don't know what that
maybe
is.
Maybe it's like one of those like
a surgical center, not like a full blown hospital,
or like what do you call it? Like a first patient, like one of those just response.
Oh, like urgent care type stuff.
Yeah, because it doesn't say hot. It just says Bayfront Health.
Why would there be TVs in the rooms? Why are there rooms? Urgent care doesn't have rooms, does it?
I don't know.
Beats
me.
I've been to urgent care a few times. I didn't have no rooms with TVs.
Well, I don't know.
Well, maybe the urgent care I went to was just terrible.
Yeah. All right. You may need to get the one with TVs. I don't know.
I'll take the urgent care with TVs, please.
Right. And the ones that aren't going to kick you out when the Eagles game is on.
Exactly. Yes.
Oh, man. That story is everything. Football,
it really does.
Musicals, insane, wacky behavior. I think it's the trifecta right there.
Right, exactly. It's sort of a microcosm of the show.
Yeah, a little bit. You're right.
We bust sports? Out on the song. We talk about sports. We have a good time. We do whatever we want.
Yeah. Football is the sports sampler. Les Mis singing is the entertainment entree. And then
and the rest
the
of
weird
it's the
behavior
odd
is the odd news. Perfect.
There you go.
There it is.
I never really thought of it that way.
Ta-da!
There's another thing to do on vacation. Listen to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah, keep on doing that.
Episodes 1 through 272.
Yep.
Just a few to catch up on. But another thing you can do while you're on vacation, you know, maybe you're going somewhere for singles. Maybe you want to have, you know, a romantic tryst. You can find a summer romance. Like in this next story, Love Across the Isle from episode 244.
In Florida, two state senators had to admit that they cheated on their spouses while at the same time crossing the aisle. The Sun Sentinel is officially reporting that State Senator Anitere Flores, who's a Republican, and Senate Minority Leader Oscar Brannon, who's a Democrat, had a romantic and extramarital tryst over the last couple of months.
That's beautiful.
Right?
They crossed the aisle.
To get it on.
Yeah, that's... I mean, that's what America's all about.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Crossing boundaries to put your penis in something. That's the American dream.
Yes. All right, this is a good
people
story.
Will, I mean, that's why we closed the West. They thought maybe there's something out there that we could put our penises in. We don't know until we venture forth into this bold new frontier. I mean, this is the American way, Rich. I hope you realize that. They crossed untold boundaries.
Yes.
They ventured where no people have ventured before. They risked their lives.
Unbridled love.
That's right. This is bigger than Romeo and Juliet. This is bigger than the girl and the guy on the boat that sank because of the iceberg. The Titanic. Jack and Rose. Romeo and Juliet. Senator Guy and Senator Woman. I've already forgotten their names, but that's how transcendental their romance is.
Yes.
Is they're no longer...
Forbidden love.
They're no longer individuals. They are one. And it is beautiful.
So, they... they had to
admit... All right, let's hear the dirty details.
They had to...
Did they do it in the actual chambers?
They had to admit their extramarital affair after video showed Flores spending the night with Brandon at his apartment for several nights in a row.
Wow.
Yeah, this is some steamy steamy action here. According to a joint statement from both Flores and Brandon, they said that, quote, "We do not want gossip and rumors to distract from the important business of the people, but we are acknowledging that our longtime friendship evolved to a level that we now deeply have regretted in the public eye."
No,
yeah, that's right. We need
they
to
shouldn't
save
regret
this.
This is beautiful.
Yeah.
This is what this country needs, Rich.
Right. We need
hope. And love.
And love. And
unity.
And banging.
Banging most of all.
Right. Everybody in this country needs to get laid. Rich Liebig, 2018,
yeah.
Whatever year this is.
Everybody needs to get laid in whatever year this is. Rich Liebig, ?
That's my feelings.
God.
He says, the joint statement also says that, quote, "We ask everyone to respect and provide our families the privacy that they deserve as they try to move past this." But you know what?
I love the story.
This is amazing when you really think about the political culture right now.
It actually is.
The Democrats and the Republicans being so far apart on issues.
To come together that intimately.
Right. And these two are coming together for some romantic fun.
Yeah. They should have used this as a way to extend an olive branch and be like, look, if we can do it, everybody can do it. Did we just get serious in the odd news?
Maybe.
Oh my God, I feel dirty now.
You have to go find another Republican. Yeah.
I have to step across the aisle.
Right. Brandon is a Democrat and the leader of the 15-member Senate Democratic Caucus. Flores is a Republican and chairs the Senate Banking and Insurance Committee.
Oh, man. Those are some steamy job titles.
Yeah. A website called FloresBrandonAffair.com published videos from a hidden camera showing Flores entering a condo rented by Brandon in a Tallahassee apartment complex.
What is wrong with people? Somebody made a website about this.
Yeah. Another video also showed Flores, who rents a condo in the complex, leaving the next morning. The Miami Herald reports Brandon found a hidden surveillance camera at the complex and alerted building officials, who contacted law enforcement. An investigation found that the camera belonged to a private investigator called Derek Uman. His website says that he specializes in three things: insurance fraud, political and corporate surveillance, and, quote, infidelity surveillance, which I didn't know that was a term.
So this is two of his three fields.
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now.
Yeah, I didn't know that was a thing.
Is this a political maneuver?
It sounds like it is. It sounds like somebody wanted to.
That doesn't make any sense, though, because you're damaging the reputation of both parties.
Well, maybe he didn't like the other guy either.
He's just burn it all.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, God.
They're breaking up this true love.
I know.
That's heartbreaking.
So as far as I'm concerned, I think all of America needs to take a lesson from this, and we should all get laid. I think that's what it's, whether you're a Democrat.
If you're a Democrat, bang a Republican. If you're a Republican, bang a Democrat.
Hey, everybody, we're all going to get laid.
Yeah.
See, brings people together.
I think so. I mean,
literally, it brings people together.
Yes.
They have to get very close, or the aisle has to be very narrow.
Boy, man, how romantic is that?
Yeah.
Wow.
That right there, that is true romance.
Willing to bone, no matter what your political party is.
Yes, well, it's one of those things you got to cross the aisle for.
Literally.
You know? Literally, yes. One thing that people are also willing to do anything to do is some people are really big amusement park junkies. And that's one of the most fun things you can do on vacation is go to an amusement park, ride some rides. But I guarantee you've never, ever seen an amusement park like the one we talk about in this story. And that is, of course, the Jewish amusement park featuring special guest Nena from episode 251.
The American company iTech Entertainment has announced that they are going to plan a theme park that is exclusively based on Jewish values.
What?
Yeah, I didn't know this was possible. It will rival the Magic Kingdom and Harry Potter World, according to its recent press release.
How?
Okay. More?
Yes.
Go on.
16 Jewish-themed rides are going to be planned for the park, including the landmark Holy Splash Mountain that will feature a 50-story high biblical image.
Please tell me there's a circumcision ride.
that could be a little painful. With over $400 million of foreign investment behind it, the park...
What?
Yes, $400 million they've already got behind this.
We have to go.
Yes.
Yeah, where is this again?
It will be in Dimona, Israel.
Oh, come on.
That's so far away.
Yeah. I can't go there.
Yeah. Someone has to cough up $400 million.
Well, it makes sense as to where it is. Oh, I mean, geez.
This is amazing.
But it will cover more than 4,000 acres of land.
4,000?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
I don't think that's
for
a typo.
Only six, you said I'm 16 just... rides?
16 Jewish-themed rides, yes.
Yeah, but they're long rides. They're 4,000 acres long.
Okay.
They're really long, apparently.
It's a half-hour ride. I want to get off.
And then there's somebody who's just like, well, you can't.
You can't.
There's like Jewish mothers yelling at you.
You started the ride, now you have to finish it.
Oy, our ancestors suffered for thousands of years.
You must suffer for 4,000 acres.
Oh, my God.
That's my horrible Jewish accent.
Do they have, please tell me they have like one of those tilt-a-whirls that's shaped like a menorah. Please tell me.
I think that has to be one of the planned rides here.
Does it have a list of rides?
Well, no, it's just.
What's a Jewish-themed ride? I want to know what a Jewish
Holy Splash Mountain and circumcision ride. Circumcision Central.
The gift shop is terrifying.
Yeah, you might.
They give you your foreskin back.
Oh.
On a keychain. I survived, but parts of me didn't. You know, those little keychain things.
Yeah, with the little picture. Yeah. Like the little plastic picture holder.
Yeah, oh, it's going to cost, like, you know, it's $100 to get it out of the thing, and then you have to... You know what? Never mind. Let me move on.
Wait, I want more rides. Give me more rides.
Well, they only have this one announced, the Holy Splash Mountain.
That's a boring one. I want to hear something that's more Jewish.
That's actually just Splash Mountain with the word holy in front of it.
Yeah, they're not very creative
so far.
What
is the biblical image? You said there was like a biblical image or something?
It's going to be 50 stories high, whatever the...
50 stories?
Yes. Whatever they're choosing for the biblical imagery, yes, is planned.
Wait, okay. Well, that's it?
No.
That's all I get?
No,
keep going.
I got some other things
here.
I want
more. No, I mean about this part.
Got some other things, yes. Benny Bitten, who's the mayor of Dimona, Israel, says that he's looking forward to the boost that the park will provide. The park is not slated to be completed until 2023 because it needs to clear some government hurdles before the construction can begin. On a separate note, Dimona is also the site of Israel's nuclear reactor. So
there's a reason then for this.
That might be a little it's a
decoy.
Coincidental.
It's a decoy. Yeah.
What, they're hiding something underneath the...
Yeah.
What are they hiding?
The biblical splash mountain.
Oh, the nuclear reactor is the front for the theme park.
No. Whichever you'd like. They both sound utterly ridiculous.
Well, yeah, apparently it is a thing. It is confirmed by iTech Entertainment.
This is a town of 30,000 people.
Yep, and they're going to build
it's
this
a
mega
relatively
park.
Small town. They're going to this is
yeah,
gonna
but people are going to travel far and wide.
Of
for
course.
This.
I want to see Circumcision Central. I don't want to ride it. I just want to see it.
Just like the Jews did.
You could say that people were traveling for, what is it, 40 years?
Yeah.
To get there.
Yeah.
4,000 acres.
4,000 acres. Very similar.
Do you think they'll sell those little hats with the curls that the rabbis wear?
Why
as
not?
As souvenirs? I could work at this place. You I'm so good at these ideas.
Yeah. All the concessions have to be kosher.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Gotta be,
no hot dogs.
No meat and cheese.
Blessed and... Rabbis are going to be involved in the planning and design of the park as well. I don't know. Can they offer architecture designs?
I'm so excited.
Well, that's part of becoming a rabbi is learning about.
It is.
And, yeah.
And instead of a ticket, you have a yarmulke. Like you have to wear, like instead of a wristband that you have to it's wear at parks, you wear you wear your yarmulke.
Okay. What do the girls wear though? Because they don't have yarmulkes.
Oh, they don't?
They
no,
have
the girls
like
don't.
Wigs, oh. Don't they? There's like girl, like wigs.
Oh, okay. They can wear wigs. All right. Did not know.
So you dress up and go on rides.
But on Splash Mountain, you might lose something.
Yeah the yarmulke is going to fly off. Yeah, they need to have like a little like chin strap.
Yeah, a little chin strap. Yeah. Make sure that is securely fastened.
This is getting more absurd by the second.
Well.
Our ideas are way better than theirs.
Right. I think we can do better than these rabbis. We'll call them up. Tell them, get rid of the rabbis. We got the ideas.
And wow, I think that will conclude this segment of things to do on vacation, the themed edition of the Non-Fortune Cookie Odd News for this week.
Yeah, love looking back at some of those stories.
Yeah,
good
you know,
stuff.
It's always good to look back and see just a couple of wacky things that actually did happen.
Yeah,
from the Crispy Noodle Archives. Because, yep, that did happen. So always good to go back into the vault. And check out what actually happened. For this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast, it's time to begin wrapping this one up. If you liked what you heard, you can also do what we did and go back in time and go check out previous episodes of the Crispy Noodle Podcast in the vault. You can also like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle. Follow us on Twitter at The Crispy Noodle and follow us on Instagram at The Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube where you can find videos, interviews, best bits, and a whole lot more. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher.
That's right. And we also have a SoundCloud page where we have the mini noodles, the best bits of the Crispy Noodle Podcast shrunk down into a quick little 2-minute promo that you can easily listen to on the go or share with other people the craziness that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. So many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But if you want to get in touch with us individually, maybe you want to tweet some of your multimedia suggestions.
That's right.
To me.
Mike's going
to
need them.
Yeah, for my recovery. You can find me on Twitter at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I'm at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. You can see what we're up to, how things are going, and how Mike's beard's doing. Yeah. I want that to be an update as well.
Sure.
Yes. Do it, Mike. Come on.
I'll post progress pics if you guys give me multimedia suggestions.
There you go. I think that's a fair trade-off.
Yeah. Hashtag Mike's Surgery Playlist and hashtag... Let it grow.
Yeah, there you go. I like it. I think that's a good...
Some social media stuff.
Yes.
There.
There you go. Well, you know, with that eloquent phrase, I think that means we need to start wrapping this week's episode up. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Yeah, I think we need to end this episode and go out on our own here.
Yep.
We'll see you guys next week for another crazy episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
See you guys
later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Hello, comrade. You are receiving transmission from Mother Russia. I am here to tell you, best podcast of 2018 is going to be Crispy Noodle Podcast, okay? This is the kind of thing that tickle my ball when nothing else will tickle my ball in Siberia, okay? Crispy Noodle Podcast is best thing for 2018. You listen to Crispy Noodle Podcast. This is the show that is tickling my balls. The Crispy Noodle Podcast 2018 is you must listen, okay? Okay, yes, good. Goodbye, comrade.